Hi, this is very special guest Todd Robert Anderson, and it has come to my attention that on a lot of podcasts, before the show actually starts, the host of the show will have a preamble about what people are going to hear, as well as things that are going on in the host's life. I am, of course, not the host. I am a very special guest. But since I'm the very special guest on every single episode of the Toncast, it's kind of fallen to me to do this pre-show introduction, before the theme music and all that stuff and the real show takes off. So this part of the show is not the real show. This is just the preamble to the show. And there are a number of things I guess I need to cover in the preamble. I've heard, of course, Mark Maron has a preamble. Mandy Stattmiller has a preamble. Janet Varney of the JV Club, she has a preamble. All these people have preambles. They kind of go like this. The first thing they talk about in their preamble is who is the guest of the show. As I said before, I'm, of course, the very special guest. So I'm the guest of the show. This episode's host is Colby Anderson. He also likes to go by Colby 2, which he did for the purposes of this episode. Kind of think of it as like a Gallagher and a Gallagher 2 situation. Although Colby 2 is Gallagher and Gallagher 2 were brothers, but Colby is an only child, has no brothers, so he's his own Gallagher 2. Whether that's going to lead to a legal battle, as it did with Gallagher and Gallagher 2, is unbeknownst to me. And I'm not sure if you can sue yourself for stealing your own act or not. But the point here is that Colby is the host this week. He asked some very probing questions of me. I am his dad in reality, although you'll hear in the interview that he refuses to admit that. So he has a very fascinating interview technique, and it was one of the greatest interviews that I've ever been a part of as a very special guest. So that's what's coming up. It's a great, great interview, and you're going to – I think you're going to get a lot out of it. He's a great host, and I'm, of course, a very interesting guest, and answer some very interesting questions. The next thing that I need to go into in the preamble is stuff that's been going on in my life, I guess. That's, like Mark Maron will talk about his relationships. Mandy Stattmiller talks about her like daddy issues and how they affect her sex life, and Janet just talks about how awesome the guest is and talks about like conventions and stuff that she'll be appearing at. That's the other thing, you know, you have to, when I get to the end of this, I've got to tell you like the dates of things that I'm doing that that are coming up, so dates of upcoming gigs. But we'll get to that. That's the last part of the introduction. Oh, and then if the host has a sponsor, at some point in the preamble, they'll slip in an ad for a sponsor. I don't actually, this is a completely independent podcast that no one listens to. So I, even though I'm 100-something episodes into this thing, I don't really have sponsors, but I'm going to take a page from Doug Stanhope on his podcast where he hangs out in Bisbee and or in Vegas or wherever and talks to his drunken comedian cohorts. They always have us say they do a sponsor, even though, you know, they just pick something randomly and say this is the sponsor, even though they're not getting money. So I'll do that at some point in the preamble to this incredible interview that you're going to hear very, very shortly. The Toncast has not posted anything for the last 2 weeks. The last episode was with Alan McLeod as host. It's a marvelous interview. If you haven't heard it, you should go back and certainly listen to that one. I, very special guest Todd Robert Anderson, caught a cold. A really, really bad cold. It was the worst cold I've had in years, and it really threw me for a loop. I spent one week. Well, when I first got it, I was, you know, of course, very busy professionally. That's the way it always seems to go. When I get sick, everybody wants me to audition for them. So I had a lot of auditions. I booked a couple of commercial gigs. All with this cold, but whenever I had any time, which was usually just a few hours in the afternoon during the week, you know, I would lie down and try to rest and drink lots of tea. I spent one entire weekend lying down, drinking lots of tea, which is always a drag in my household because, you know, when one of us gets sick, then, you know, everybody gets sick. So that's what wound up happening. My wife came down with it first, although she says it was me who came down with it first, but she got strep throat, you see. And on that weekend where I spent most of it in bed, I did go to the doctor because she had strep throat. And I said to the doctor, hey, doctor, I feel like garbage. And my wife has strep throat and, you know, I had a sore throat for almost a week. And normally when I get a cold, the sore throat will only last for a few days and then comes the cough and the congestion and all that stuff. But this one, the cough and the congestion came, but the sore throat didn't go away. And I was concerned that maybe I had strep throat, even though I don't really have that proclivity. It seems like strep throat is one of those things that people get like regularly. And I really never get it. My wife gets it quite a bit. But I did not get it. But I was concerned, you know, maybe I did because the sore throat wasn't going away. So, my wife was, out. So I took my son to she had a meeting on a Saturday. So I had to take my son with me to the doctor. So he sat with me as I, told the doctor how I was feeling. The doctor, she said, you know, they give you a strep test. And there's one they send away. It takes a few days. And then there's another one where it happens right there. It's like an immediate. And that came back negative. So I didn't have strep. So she's just like, you know, get lots of rest, drink lots of fluids, you know, the old song and dance about viruses because there's nothing you can do. Good news, of course, that it wasn't, you know, Ebola or anything like that because I know Ebola is sweeping the nation. It's a huge hit here. It really hasn't gotten into my area. So it was just a cold. It was a bad cold. And then, you know, I was blowing snot and, coughing up snot. And there was a lot of snot. I don't like it. I don't like being sick and, I don't like working when I'm sick, which I had to. And I don't like auditioning when I'm sick, which I had to. So anyway, I was sick and that's why, you know, the last 2 weeks, I didn't do any podcasting because, you know what? No one's paying me for this. And I had all this other stuff to do that I was getting paid for. So, that is what I gave my energy to, because I really didn't have a lot because I felt like garbage. I wondered why the cold hit me so hard this time, because a lot of times when I get colds, I can get over them pretty quick just through, you know, taking care of myself and, you know, thinking positively. But this one really, I was in a bad, bad mood when I got the sickness. So I think it really hit me hard because of that. You know, high stress levels are not good for your immune system is what I am told. And that was happening. I was having high stress levels. And the reason why I was having high stress levels is, I had a, contracting company, doing some work on my house. And I know this sounds like a white middle class problem, but honestly, you know, my wife and I, bought this fixer upper house a number of years ago, and we haven't had the money to fix it up. So we took out a small personal loan so we could at least do one thing to the house, which it really needed, which is get new, windows. And we, hired this company, and, the sales guy, you know, this attractive young man, told us, you know, all this nonsense about how great they were and all this stuff. And it turns out they weren't. They did put the windows in, and the windows are good. But we had also had them, hired them to fix some doors, to replace some doors, our back door and our front door. And I spent months, calling them, almost every other day and, saying, hey, when are you going to come finish this job? When are you going to come finish this job? And then they would actually say, okay, we'll be there tomorrow between 9 and 10 to finish the job. And then they wouldn't show up. And then I would call and go, why aren't you guys here? And then it was always an excuse. The most recent of which was one of the workers said, oh, my wife had a kidney stone, so we had to take her to the hospital. And I was like, I'm really sorry for your wife, but you can understand my aggravation because you've done this so many times in the past for all these different reasons. How am I, you know, I'm very sorry that there's sickness in your family, but, how do I know you're even telling the truth? Cause you're, it's always something. Your truck broke down. One of your guys got stuck in another job and couldn't make it. Bah, 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 bah. Just come finish the job that we paid you to do. So I started getting, really aggravated, and I left messages cause they wouldn't answer the phone. I think when they saw me calling at the office. So I'd leave angry messages saying, I don't know when you guys are going to finish this job. Are you going to finish this job? Do I have to lawyer up and sue you to get you to finish this job? I mean, I really don't want to spend more money on a lawyer, but if you're not finishing the job, it's the principle of the thing. I don't know. So I was going through that, and simultaneously the alarm company, the home alarm company that we were using was the alarm system was not working properly. And I was calling them in addition to calling this contractor, calling them over and over and over again saying, when are you going to send someone out to fix this alarm system that's faulty? And they would say, well, within 48 hours, a technician will call you to set up a time. I said, that's how long it's going to take, 2 days for you to just call me to set up a time? And they said, that's our policy. And I said, oh, that's a shitty policy, but I guess I have to deal with it, don't I? And so I would wait the 48 hours and no one would call, and I would call the company again and say I was waiting, and I got reference numbers and names, and it was like, this is the reference number from the first time I called. Here's the second. Here's the third. That went on for a month and a half. A month and a half. So I had had it, and I called and I said, I got to switch alarm companies because your alarm system's not working. You can't. At one point, I actually got a guy on the phone and he said, yeah, I don't know why the technician hasn't called. I was like, it's been a month, dude. And he's like, that must be very frustrating. I understand how frustrating that must be. And I was like, no, I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I am not using your alarm system. And he's like, well, you have to because, you know, you're under contract. And I was like, you guys haven't been able to get someone to fix it in a month. I would say that is a breach of contract on your end. And I have every right to nullify this contract and move on to another company. So I took the steps to do that. Because I figured once I had another alarm company, I could call them because you have 3 days to cancel the new contract. So, you know, I would have these 3 days to wiggle and deal with them and see, you know, it just how serious they were going to be about holding me to their contract, blah, 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 blah. So we actually got one company to come out. This is the American alarm Protection is the name of the company that we were using. So I called this other company, Vivint, to come out, who is a company we'd used before. And they sent these two girls out, very young, to install the alarm system. They couldn't get the alarm system to work. This new alarm system that they were installing. They were pulling the old stuff out, putting new stuff in, couldn't get it to work. And I said, well, what are you going to do about that? And they're like, well, we can't get anyone else out here to fix this alarm system that we're currently putting in that we can't get to work for 2 weeks. And I said, well, the whole reason I'm calling is because the alarm system that I'm currently using hasn't been able to get anyone out for a month. And you're telling me I'm just changing this problem in for another problem. And they were like, yes, sorry. And I was like, okay, forget it. We're not going to use you guys. Cancel this. And this blonde girl, actually got on, went to my YouTube account and posted this whole angry thing about how I was a miserable asshole, because she had like her little 19-year-old assistant was like, I want to be an actor, because they asked what I did. I was like, I'm an actor. She's like, oh, I want to be an actor. How do I get to be an actor? Which, you know, if you're asking that question, I know she's only 19, but if you're asking that question, how serious are you about an actor, being an actor? You should have gone online and figured this out on some general level and asked more specific questions than how do I become an actor. But I very politely said, well, there's no real good way of doing it. And she's like, do I have to go to school? And I was like, well, it can't hurt to make you a good actor to go study, but it's not going to help you get jobs or anything. She's like, do I have to get an agent? I was like, yeah, you have to get an agent. So, and then I posted something on some joke on Twitter, which apparently this blonde chick read. And it was just a joke about someone asking me how they became an actor. And my response, which is not my response in reality, it was just a joke I posted on Twitter, was that, you know, the acting offices were no longer accepting resumes. So, you know, she should just stick with what she's doing. And I realized that's snarky and stuff. But this girl goes on to my YouTube and posts on this arbitrary YouTube video that's like from like 5 years ago. And I actually watched it. I was like, why is she posting it on this video? Because it's actually not related. The video is like a joke about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements that actors often have to sign these days because of the internet, and they don't want people giving away plot points or concepts of commercial campaigns and all this stuff. So I was just making jokes about that on that video. But this comment was like, oh, how can you be so miserable in your life? No wonder, she said, no wonder you've never made it in the big time. You're so miserable, you've got to crush the dreams of a 19-year-old. I'm like, if my offhanded comment crushes your acting dreams, then you're not an actor. You're not really serious about it. There's no way I could, like, you know how many soul crushing things that I've been through as an actor and every actor who's serious about acting goes through? If you're not ready for some offhanded comments by arbitrary people like that and assessing the reality of the situation, really, then you do not have the thick skin that you need to be an actor. I mean, come on. How is this on me? But anyway, she posted these insulting things and said I lived in a ghetto and I was a piece of shit and all this stuff. And that made me so angry. And I like quoted her on my Twitter feed, because she didn't have the cojones to like call me out on Twitter. She had to call me out in this arbitrary place. I mean, did she expect that I wouldn't find it or something? Because, you know, when my account gets posted on even old videos, I get an email saying, hey, there's a new post. So, I called her out on Twitter and quoted what she said, but she never responded to me. I just said, geez, I'm really sorry. Enjoy your white privilege. I'm going to stay over here in my ghetto and be miserable and all that stuff. But she never responded. And my friend Steve Skelton says I was an idiot for trying to start a Twitter battle. But I was just like, I had been yelling at people and alarm companies, and I was pissed off. And then after that, I did get another alarm company to come, and they installed a good system, and it works great. And I called the old alarm company. I was like, all right, I have a new alarm system, so you need to stop charging me for your services. And they were like, no, you're under a 5-year contract. And I was like, well, actually, it's my understanding that in the state of California, you can't put anyone on an alarm company contract for more than 24 months. So your contract is in violation of state regulation. And they were like, no, that's not true. You know, the lady on the phone was like, no, that's not true. And then I got on the phone with so many people, managers saying, you have not been able to get, I'm yelling at people. I'm cursing at them. One guy hung up on me. And I just immediately called back and started talking to somebody else. And at one point I was like, look, what do you want me to do? You guys haven't gotten anyone out here to fix it. If you get someone out here today to fix it, then okay, we'll talk about staying under contract. But I'm pretty sure you don't, because you haven't been able to get in contact with any technicians who can come out and fix this, which is insane. It's insane. And they were always like, well, I'm sorry we couldn't find the technician. And I was like, well, maybe you should find a new technician who returns your calls and can do the work that you need done. And they were like, well, yeah, I know. And I was like, look, if you hold me to this contract, what I'm going to do is hassle with you, deal with you. I'll cancel the other alarm contract because I got 3 days to do that. But I'm going to call your company every fucking day of the week, and I am going to fucking yell at you. I am going to scream at you. I'm going to be a thorn in your side. I'm going to call the Better Business Bureau. I'm going to find a lawyer who would do pro bono work on the side of a consumer to fucking shoot you down. I mean, I will make it my life's goal to make your company miserable and get your company into as much trouble as I possibly can. Wouldn't you just rather let the contract go? And finally, the guy who hung up on me actually called me that day and said, okay, I talked to the CEO of the company, and he said that you're right, we are in violation. And he said, let him go. And he's like, I'm really sorry for the trouble we've caused. And I was like, thank you. So I finally got my way, but I was doing so much angry yelling and all that stuff that, I mean, I was just a ball of rage against all this crap. I just felt like this helpless consumer who had no choice. It was like when I was bullied in high school and I'd finally had it, and I just started flailing fists at, like, I had no idea. There were all these bullies, like, around me, and I just started throwing fists at all of them. And I was like, if you guys kill me, I'm at least going to go down fighting. That's the way I felt as an adult with people on the phone. It made me so upset. So I think because I was this ball of rage, like, there was no reason for me to have to go through any of that. All of this should have been a given. We hired you to fix things. We hired you to do an alarm company. I shouldn't have had to get that angry and do all the crap that I had to do to get things the way they were supposed to be, because I was paying for them. I was paying for this stuff. I shouldn't have to fight for, it's like you could go into 7-Eleven and you buy a Snickers bar, and the guy's like, well, it's a dollar, and you give him a dollar, and then he takes a Snickers bar and he just starts eating it in front of you. And you're like, well, what are you doing, dude? That's my Snickers bar that I paid for. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to give you the Snickers bar, even though you paid for it. You have to give me the Snickers bar. I paid for the Snickers bar. Give me the fucking Snickers bar, you asshole. That's what would happen. And that's what I was doing with all these people on the phone. And it caused horrible, horrible, horrible stress. And then I got sick. I got sick as a result of it. So all you guys who put me through that, fuck you. Fuck all of you. You're all assholes. You made me sick. Literally sick. So that's why I haven't posted in 2 weeks. I was recovering from an extreme bout of rage and sickness. But now things have settled down. I've done some jobs. It's always nice when you do jobs, because then you know you have money coming in so you can pay for all these things that you have to pay for that you're not getting. So that's good. And now I'm back. I'm recording this, preamble to this incredible interview with host Colby Anderson. And I'm auditioning again. Although I did get aggravated. I have an audition tomorrow and I can't tell you what it is because I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. They sent me this whole email and I had to send it. And then before I got the sides for the thing, I had to sign this agreement saying I won't talk about it. I won't say what it is. And I'm not talking about it. I'm just talking about the non-disclosure agreement. And then they sent me the sides through this like specialized website that exists because there is a business for this now because everybody's having everybody sign non-disclosure agreements. These are TV shows and commercials. They're not military secrets. They're not, you know, the cure for cancer. It's sort of ridiculous. But then I get the sides and the sides, I can't print them out. So I can't use a hard copy of the sides. And I actually talked to my manager and was like, am I doing something wrong? And he's like, no, you can't print out the sides. And I was like, okay. But I need a hard copy of the sides to work with. It's just how I work. I can't like look at a screen and on my computer and just act off of that or look at my phone. I don't have an iPad and I'm not going to go out and spend $400 on an iPad just so I can go and audition for this bit part in a show. Which, you know, and let me just say this. I am really happy to be going on this audition. I'm very excited for it. It's great. But the hoops that I had to jump through just to go, you know, and what I wound up doing was I had to download this app for this website that gives me these top secret sides. And I downloaded the app. And then what I did was I took screenshots of the sides and I emailed them to myself so I could print out hard copies. That is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous bunch of stuff I had to do just to print out some sides. But, you know, I didn't get angry about it like I did because at least this is, you know, an opportunity on some level for me to act and be in a show and maybe make a little bit of cash if they like me for the part. So that all struck me is kind of ridiculous, and that's why I'm sharing it with you. And it's sort of a coincidence that blonde chick posted a just vicious comment on arbitrarily on a video about me making fun of non-disclosure agreements. So I thought that was worth talking about in my preamble. But I know you're dying to get to this interview with the incredible Kobe Scott, and the questions are just incredible. Nothing I would have thought of in an interview. It's like this interview that you're about to hear is genuinely groundbreaking. But before I do a little bit more business, this podcast is brought to you by the Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's a Universal Monster movie. It had two sequels. And one of which, the second one, these are all 3D movies, by the way. 3D classic Universal films. You can buy a box set. I think the box set's out of print though, so it's really expensive with all the Creature movies. But the original, the first one at least, is out on Blu-ray. Now, I watched it. It's incredible. Creature from the Black Lagoon is probably my favorite of the Universal Monster movies, really of all the old monster movies. It's a great, great movie. I, of course, wouldn't be sponsoring this if I didn't believe in the product 100%. So pick up a copy of Creature from the Black Lagoon on Blu-ray today. Another sponsor of ours is Altoids. It's the Curiously Strong Mint. If you've just eaten a tuna sandwich, smoked a cigar, or you just, you know, been performing oral sex on somebody, Altoids, freshen your breath. It's great. They're also kind of a fun tool in oral sex. If you have the mint in your mouth while you're going down on someone, it's kind of a sensation. cool sensation. So buy your Altoids and use them to freshen your breath and enhance your sex life. Altoids, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and Altoids. So pick those up. Those are our sponsors. I, of course, now, before we get to this groundbreaking interview, need to give you dates of some upcoming gigs. You can, of course, if you can find out where and get special permission from the casting director for this top secret audition I'm going on, you can see me audition tomorrow. So good luck figuring out where that's going to happen. And I think it's pretty unorthodox for a casting director to let someone come and sit in on a casting session just to watch a particular actor audition. But I don't know, maybe you can work it out, grease some palms, make it happen. And then, of course, I'll be in some upcoming commercials. As I said, I shot some commercials, so look for those. And finally, I'll give you some dates for conventions that I'm appearing at, as well as some stand-up gigs that I'm doing. Here, the dates for those are, oh, there are no dates for those. I am not someone who goes to conventions because nobody cares about me and nobody wants my autograph. So I won't be there, but I'll bet you could find Tony Todd at a convention, and his last name is Todd, while my first name is Todd. And I met him. He's really cool. So look for Tony Todd at some conventions. I'm not doing any stand-up gigs because I don't do stand-up. But I have a friend named Andrew Donnelly who does stand-up. So look for Andrew Donnelly. But I will not be doing stand-up because I don't do stand-up. So that's my plugs for my personal stuff. So buy these products. Check me out. Without further ado, here is the groundbreaking interview, followed by this brief preamble, with host Colby Scott Anderson and myself, very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson. Enjoy. Thanks for listening to the Toncast. It's the Toncast, Toncast, the Toncast, Toncast.
Hi, I'm Colby, and this is the Toddcast. Welcome to my second podcast. I'm Colby 2 again. Wait, what? This is Todd, my helper. So what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on your show as your helper this week.
Cool. How's your life?
How's my life? My life is all right, although I'm certainly glad to be podcasting again. The last couple weeks, I've been getting over a really bad cold, so I took a break from the podcasting world. But this is my triumphant return after 2 weeks of sick leave, so I'm glad I could be on your show on my return to podcasting.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I think I'd have to say pizza is my favorite food.
Favorite drink and favorite song?
My favorite drink is scotch, and my favorite song is Whiskey in the Jar by the Dubliners.
Okay. When is your birthday and mom's birthday?
When is my birthday? My birthday is January 19th. When is, by mom, do you mean your mom and my wife?
How do you know people my mom?
Well, you're my son.
No, I'm not.
You're not my son?
No.
Oh, okay. Whose mom are we talking about then?
Your mom.
When's my mom's birthday?
Mm-hmm.
My mom's birthday is December 6th.
Okay. Well, This is going to be the last question.
This is the last question?
The last.
This is a very short podcast.
It's the hardest question, though.
Okay. Was that... How many questions did you ask me so far?
It's the hardest question.
Okay. Okay.
The hardest in the entire galaxy.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You just answered it. You just answered the hardest question.
Oh, am I ready? Mm-hmm. And I said I'm ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's the end. Goodbye.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for having me on your intensely short podcast.
Well, that's why... Welcome to my second podcast. This is Todd, my helper. So what's up? Cool. How's your life?
Wait. Are we doing it again? What's happening? You have to tell me what's happening because I don't understand.
I'm having a podcast with you. Remember? You need... I'm Colby 2.
Right. You're Colby 2 as opposed to Colby 1. So what is it that we're doing now? Now I'm confused.
We're redoing it. I'm Colby 2. I do everything 2 times.
Oh, I see.
I'm doing everything 2 times.
So I answer the same... How many questions was it? 4 or 5 questions?
I don't know. But, ready? Welcome to my second podcast. This is Todd, my helper. So what's up?
Not much. Just doing another podcast right now.
Cool. How's your life?
How's my life? Mm-hmm. My life is fine. It's good. It's fine. I spent the last couple weeks getting over a cold. I still have a little bit of the sniffles. But other than that, things are good. I've been working. And when you're an actor, it's always good to be working. And I got a great family. My wife is... She was... under the weather. My son was also under the weather. We were all under the weather. And now everybody's on the mend and feeling better. And that makes me feel good. I like when we're in a good place. Later on today, we're going to go to the movies.
What's your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit?
Yep.
My favorite fruit is strawberries.
Favorite soda and favorite rock song?
My favorite soda is, I like ginger ale, Canada Dry ginger ale.
Me too.
I don't like ginger soda, I mean ginger beer, because it's too sweet. I like the ginger ales with bite, which to me are just really Schweppes and Canada Dry. All the other smaller brands tend to be too sweet and not as carbonated.
My favorite is...
What was the other thing I had? Soda, and what was the other thing?
I'll tell you after I say what my favorite is.
Oh, I didn't realize...
My favorite is all of the sodas that are too sweet.
You like all the sodas that are too sweet.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sodas.
Oh, I know. I just like them because they have 2 in them.
Oh, and you're Colby too. Mm-hmm. I see.
I like everything that's...
So you asked me if my favorite soda and my favorite rock song was the other... my favorite rock song. Wow, that's a hard question. I think my favorite rock song, geez, of all time. You know what song I really like? Dirty Deeds by AC/DC.
I've heard that song once in a while.
Yeah, it's a good song. I really like it. Although that AC/DC drummer, he's gotten in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
I like all the songs that just keep repeating the lyrics.
You like very repetitive songs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, is your dad a vampire?
Is my father a vampire? Not to my knowledge.
A zombie?
No, he's definitely not a zombie.
Well.
Uh-huh.
This is the easiest question. This question is the easiest question in the entire galaxy.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
Yes.
That was the last question of the whole entire thing.
That was the whole show?
Well, that's the end. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks for having me on your 6.5-minute podcast. Thank you.